Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Verity Vitamins. My name is Benjamin Pace, and we have been in a series entitled Pour No More. And we have been talking about God's will to bring us out of poverty. And we are on part 11, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me. And our text that we've been reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." And it says, "And you will remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." And we've been talking about this, what it means to live off of a word of the Lord, and how when you act on the word of the Lord, it produces a living. And it's not just about the toil of your hands. It's not just about the sweat of your brow, so to speak. It's about finding out what the word of the Lord is, not only in a situation, but what the word of the Lord is in your life, what he's called you to do, what he's anointed you to do, and how that connects to coming out of poverty. Now, that does not mean that if you do what God calls you to do, you will never face any trials or tests. That doesn't mean you'll never face any setbacks even. Paul said, "I've learned to be content in every circumstance." But he said, I've learned both how to be abased and how to abound. And so when you follow the Lord, you may be led through the wilderness at times, but God is leading you to a good land. You may go through some dry places at times. You may have to walk through those places temporarily, but the Lord is leading you to something even better, higher than you've been before. And, you know, Jesus uses the example of a woman travailing in birth, but after she has the child, she forgets about the trouble she came through. And you know, each time a woman has a child, she has to face that hour of trouble again. You know what I mean? But afterwards, she has a new baby. She has a new child to raise. Of course, there's some hours of trouble that come after that, but we won't get into that right now. But whenever you're coming up higher and the Lord's leading you into a new season, sometimes you can go through a narrow place temporarily, but it's because the Lord is bringing you up higher. He's bringing you out into a new thing. And it's not that the Lord is bringing the trouble on you, but the enemy persecutes things sometimes. And the Lord leads us through the wilderness to get us to the place that he's bringing us into. Now, how can I say that with confidence? Because that's what he said here. That's what he did. And it's not that God is wanting you to be in a place of tightness or shortage or lack, but God does want us to be in a place of dependency upon him and learning to not only live by bread alone or by work alone or by toil alone or by intellect alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Let me say it the way that Lillian B. Yeoman said it: God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the word of God. So he goes on to say, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs and that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing." This is the foundation of what we've been talking about. God wants to bring his people into a land without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. That is God's will for your life. And we talked about in the beginning how we have to establish that that is God's will in order for us to have confidence that we can and should come out of scarcity and lack. But he said, a land whose stones are iron and out of hills you will dig brass. Down in verse 18, or 17 and 18, he said, after you are full and have built houses and everything that you have has multiplied and your silver and gold has multiplied, you will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Now, if you look back in verse 14, he mentions this, and take heed that you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's kind of what I want to talk about in this episode, from the house of bondage. But what did he say in verse 18 that we just read? You will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Another way of saying that is the grace or the anointing to get wealth. Are there still anointings to get wealth? A lot of people are offended just by that statement, just by that phrase, the anointing and wealth, that they don't even belong together. Well, the Bible talks about how the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The Bible talks about how God blessed Abraham and he was a wealthy man. Well, if the blessing caused Abraham to get wealth, when did it stop? When did the blessing stop enabling people to get wealth? With God, it's not about whether or not you have wealth. It's about how you got it. It's about the integrity that was involved. Because Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I'm not going to take anything from you lest you say you have made Abraham rich. But the Bible says that God made Abraham rich. And so we shouldn't be offended by that. But again, back in verse 14, where he said, after everything that you have is multiplied, and your silver and your gold, you need to beware that you forget not the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget that the Lord brought you out of bondage. How would we not forget that? Well, we need to go back and remind ourselves what the Lord did. We need to go back and remind ourselves not only where the Lord brought us from personally, but we need to go back and remember where he brought his people out of and the people he's talking to here. Back in Exodus 5, verse 1, look at this. It's talking about Moses going before Pharaoh, and it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. What is this? This is a word. This is a word that the people can live on. He said, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. It's interesting that God said this first before he had the people go out altogether. And it reminds me of how in Luke chapter 5, Jesus told Peter, thrust out a little from the land, before he told Peter to launch out into the deep. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So this tells us something about the kind of leadership that Israel was under, the kind of master that they were serving. One that did not fear God. And so they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. Oh, man. See, it's God's will that we work. We talked about this earlier in the podcast. It's God's will that we work. It's not God's will that we toil. And it's certainly not God's will that we toil and produce little or nothing. And that's the case of a lot of people. That's the case of a lot of God's people. Toiling, laboring, but producing little. Producing barely enough. Behind, lacking. And he said, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. Get back to your toil. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you, watch them, make them rest from their labor. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give people straw to make brick as before. Watch this. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. What is this? That's making you take care of something on your own. You go figure out how to do it. You come up with the way to meet the need. Ah. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. And this is mockery toward serving God. This is mockery toward wanting to go and do something for God, wanting to step out and go serve the Lord. This is a mocking attitude, a despising attitude toward that. Oh, they want to go serve God. They want to go do something for God. Hey, go back to work. You need to get a job. Now, it is good to work. We're all called to work, and we're supposed to have a job. But again, what are we talking about? Finding out what we're called and anointed to do. Finding out what the word of the Lord is. And what was the word of the Lord to them? Go and sacrifice to me in the wilderness. And he's despising this. And so he said, let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. Ah. Do you see the despising here of the word of the Lord? The acting like what Moses said God said to do is silly and foolish. And he's despising the word of the Lord and trying to get them to despise the word of the Lord. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourselves straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad all through the land of Egypt, watch this, to gather stubble instead of straw. Man, this reminds me of Haggai. Haggai talked about earning wages to put it in a bag of holes, not having enough. What is this? This is an increased demand, but a reduced supply. Actually, it's a cut-off supply. And what does this do? This creates a deficit. We talked about this in the earlier episodes, dealing with deficits. Increasing the demand, increasing the expenses, increasing what you have to pay for, what you have to, the supplies you need, the things you have to have in order to run your business or whatever the case is. When there's an increased demand but a reduced supply, that creates a deficit. That creates holes in your bag. You understand? It's a drain on your finances, on your resources. And this is what he's telling them they have to do. And it says the taskmasters, watch this, forced them to hurry. You know, you can't be led by deadlines. John 11 talks about how when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 days. And when he got there, Mary and Martha both said, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. But what did Jesus say? Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And he went on, they forced them to hurry, and they said, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. And they're pressuring them and forcing them and saying, hey, the deadline's here. The deadline's here. Where's it at? Where's it at? It's time. Where's it at? And it's an increased demand. It's this bill and this bill and this bill. You got to do it by this time, by this time, by this time. Where's it at? Where's it at? What is this? This is an increased burden and a reduced supply. And they said, fulfill your work. And also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making both brick and as yesterday and today and as before? And so they basically said to them, why are you treating us this way? You haven't been giving us anything to work with. And they said, because you're idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the Bible says they realize they're in a bad situation. Well, this is a picture of the heavy yoke of the enemy and of poverty, working hard and toiling and producing nothing and having to find a way to do it yourself. Working hard and still coming short, always hurried, always pressured, and trying to figure out a way to come up with more by yourself. What is that? This is a yoke of bondage that many of God's people are still under. And the result, it's the result of serving the wrong master. Jesus said you can only serve one master, God or mammon. And this is the result of serving the wrong master. But in Exodus chapter 6, we see that God sent Moses back to them and gave them a word again that said, I'm bringing you out. And he said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage. And you'll know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And the Bible says Moses told this to the children of Israel, but they didn't listen to it because they were so crushed with the bondage. They were so crushed with the weight of what they were dealing with. What is happening here? The enemy is, watch this, persecuting the word. The Lord gave them a word. He said, I'm bringing you out. But the enemy is persecuting it. He's using Pharaoh to despise the word and increase the burden and labor on them right before God leads them out, right before God brings them out of where they're at. And he's persecuting the word. Look at this in Matthew 11:28, though. Look at what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What do we have to do? We need to take his yoke upon us because it's easy and it's light. But it has to do with us following him and following the word that he gave to us. Look at this in Isaiah 10, verse 20. I'll read this quickly. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And down in around verse 25, 26, he said, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. And again, he says it, so will he lift it up in the manner of Egypt. But it shall come to pass, in verse 27, in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. What did he say? The oil will destroy the yoke. The anointing will destroy the yoke. We looked at this passage before in 2 Kings chapter 4. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is come to take my two sons to be his slaves. You know, you've heard of the movie The Predator. Well, a lot of people can make their own horror movie called The Creditor. Anyway, so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing, but watch this, a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Don't borrow a few. And he said, go in and shut the door and pour the oil into each vessel and set aside the full ones. And so she went and did what he said. And when she ran out of the last vessel, the oil stopped. And then Elijah said to her, go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. What happened? The oil got rid of the yoke of the creditor. Oh, come on. Are you listening? The oil got rid of the yoke of the creditor. Let me ask you this. What do you have in the house? What has God given you oil to do? What has God anointed you to do? What's the word of the Lord to you? What do we know about God's yoke? It's easy and light. And the anointing oil is what will destroy the yoke of toil. Let me say it to you this way. The oil will deliver you from the toil. And when God's people followed the word of the Lord into the wilderness, what did the Bible say? He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among them.